D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. So, Titans, today was day two of practice. No pads today. I did go out there and sweat a lot.
Profusely,
yes, absolutely.
Now, Adam is famous, everybody, for showing up at the hockey rink when it's 50 degrees.
Like with shorts on.
With shorts, flip-flops,
no,
short sleeves.
I don't wear flip-flops.
Okay, maybe not flip-flops.
I'm anti-flip-flops.
But definitely shorts and no layers. One shirt. While the rest of us are bundled up, D-Mace will bring in the heated blanket.
Oh, I got it all.
I'll bring in like five layers, as I'm famous for. I don't know how Adam does it. So translating that to what you're like on the football field, like I don't, like you can't go any lower.
Exactly.
You'd have underwear on.
Nobody wants to hear about that. Probably not even my wife. But I remember at one point being at a game when I was covering the Predators on a daily basis, and it was you know, late fall, early winter. And I had on no-show socks. I was wearing pants, but I had no-show socks on. And David Poile was very concerned for my ankles.
Very concerned.
Very concerned for my ankles. But nevertheless, as one texter says, you're not in the hockey business anymore, Adam, LOL. No, it's a lot different going to Titans training camp practice than Predators practice in the winter. But speaking of Titans practice, we heard from one player yesterday. And I heard what he said, and we'll play it here in just a moment. I really want to believe Treylon Burks. We'll play the clip from Teron Davenport here in just a minute. I really want to believe Treylon Burks that this year is going to be different. I do, but I don't know if I can. Here was Treylon Burks after practice yesterday.
I would just say, you know, just the last 3 years, I would say, my injuries have limited me from being who I know I am. You know what I mean? So I just say, with me being in shape, being healthy, doing the right things right, just making sure I'm staying on top of the little things, I just feel like I'm in a good place, man. God has, you know, brought me from the lowest to the highest and the lowest to the highest, and I'm blessed for that. I couldn't thank him and the people that's helped me, man. So, you know, I'm just excited to see what plan he has for me, and I'm going to follow that plan.
That was Treylon Burks after practice yesterday, and we know the story of Treylon Burks. Drafted with the pick the Titans acquired for trading A.J. Brown. I have a story up from June of 2022, written by Teron Davenport. Listen to the lead of this story. The mystery surrounding the setback that Tennessee Titans first-round pick Treylon Burks has been dealing with since rookie minicamp gained some clarity Tuesday. It's unfortunate, Titans wide receiver coach Rob Moore said before the team took the field for OTAs. Some of the things he's dealing with are out of his control. The kid has asthma. That was right from the beginning. There were conditioning concerns. He had asthma. I specifically remember looking up the pollen count in Nashville in the spring, in the summer. Can Treylon Burks practice today? Let's look at the pollen count. And he's dealt with injuries and inconsistency. And guys, I really want to believe Treylon Burks. I want to believe that this year it's going to be different. But I just don't think I can. It's unfortunate, but I don't think I can.
It truly is unfortunate. I don't think everyone and I'm not going to say everyone, including the Titans organization, but I think everyone outside of the Titans organization are resigned to, you know, Treylon Burks just being another guy. And, you know, if he gets there, fine. If he doesn't, well, we hadn't had much from him in the last 3 years, so this year isn't any different. But I think the organization, when you draft a guy in the first round, man, and it's not because he can't play, it's because his situations where it seemed like he's catching on and then he has an injury. Seems like he's catching on, then he has an injury. Seems like he then he, see, those things are outside of his control. But I know the fan base is just looking at it as, man, this dude, he just can't, he just don't get it. But I think it, I think the organization, whereas they don't believe, I don't think they are expecting him to be, you know, a number one receiver, but I think they still believe he has enough talent that he can be viable for this young quarterback. Again, the Titans are trending more to a bigger receiving core. And why? Because it helps the quarterback completion percentages, meaning he has a bigger radius to throw the football. Look at the guys that they drafted this year. All of them are over 6 feet. Calvin Ridley, he's over 6 feet. Burks, he's 6'3". They're going with a much bigger receiving core to help out the quarterback, and they're just hoping now that the hope is different from when it was. It went from, okay, he's gonna be our guy, to, man, we hope he can give us some production, because if he does, it can help the young quarterback.
Talking about just the one play, Willie, that summarizes the Treylon Burks experience. He has one receiving touchdown in his three-year NFL career. Just one. I know there was a fumble recovery for a touchdown. I think maybe Derrick Henry lost the ball and Treylon Burks jumped on it in the end zone. But he has caught one touchdown pass in his NFL career, and he was concussed on the play. And that happened to be,
and it was a dirty hit.
It was. And it happened to be the loss at Philadelphia that led to the firing of John Robinson. So it just feels like it's all in a nice, neat little box there, the Treylon Burks experience.
When I was out there yesterday, and there were a few people on site, and I was talking to, I can't quite remember who it is now. It was one of Terry, one of them. I think it may have been Terry. And he and I were just discussing Treylon Burks and just receiving corps as a whole. And the conversation sort of went in the way of, like, maybe Treylon Burks isn't what they thought he would be or want him to be. They thought and want him to be A.J. Brown, meaning A.J. Brown was a deep ball threat, legitimate deep ball threat. He can catch the slants and all that other stuff, but his big thing, deep ball threat, when he catches it, he goes. He's hard to tackle. Maybe they're trying to use Treylon as a deep – he's not a deep ball threat. Treylon Burks is a screen, five-yard slant, five-yard hitch, you know, intermediate type of route guy, catches it. That's where he becomes deadly, when he catches the ball early in medium to short range and then let him – watch Arkansas. Watch him while he was at Arkansas. Was it Arkansas? Yeah, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Watch him while he was at Arkansas. A lot of his plays were catch and go. They weren't these deep balls down the field. So I'm with Lewis in the sense of, when Lewis says sometimes coaches and GMs think they are smarter than what they are. Maybe they were trying to make Trent. And I did say when Vrabel and him was here, maybe they're using him wrong. You know, maybe they're not using him the way he needs to be used. He's a guy that get him the ball quickly in his hands and then let him go. That's who Treylon Burks is. Treylon Burks isn't a guy that's going to run you consistent deep post or deep nine routes or, you know, deep post or corner routes. He's not that guy. What he's going to do, and do it effectively, run those shallows, run those intermediate routes, run those slants, get him on a rub, pick play, and twins, let him get the ball in his hands, and then get up the field. That's who Treylon Burks is. He is hard to tackle, but they keep trying to use him as a deep ball threat, and he's not that guy.
I think the number one thing for Treylon Burks is he's got to shake the tag, because there are people throughout NFL history whose bodies are just not cut out for the rigors of the pro game. It's a fact. He won't be alone. It's not like you can blame him. Sometimes it's just not your thing. I think a lot of people have shown promise coming out of college, and then they just can't stay on the field. So he's got to shake that. And then the other thing that to me is interesting, you know, I brought up, you know, in the silly training camp convo, I brought his name up because he has not been talked about. For the first time in his career, he has not been talked about the entire offseason. He has been written off. That was very different. Even last year, he had all of the hype coming in. Rookie season, marred by the injuries, the asthma, all of those things. Came back the next year. Now he's ready to do it. And he was lighting it up in training camp. And then the Vikings practice where he hurt himself. Not the same after that. Last year, much more skepticism. Still, though, well, maybe this is year. This is his year. Didn't happen. So now people are not, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody is going to buy stock in him right now. He's been written off. But he's still there. So it's up to him to maybe thrive with a new evaluation system. Mike Borgonzi has no ties to Treylon Burks, new quarterback. And I do see Cam Ward. He's noticed Treylon Burks. Is that fair to say? Like in the offseason workouts, like he's looking around at the wide receivers and going, look at this guy. Like he's brand new. There's no history for Cam Ward. He doesn't come in knowing the history like the fans do, and even some of the teammates do. He gets a total fresh start here. So that's why I'm intrigued about the whole thing. But there will be so much, I'll believe it when I see it, and he's got to put that noise aside.
I remember Cam Ward's Fortnite stream when somebody asked him about his top four NFL wide receivers. Calvin Ridley, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Treylon Burks.
Smart man.
One of these things is not like the other.
But I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like, you have nothing to lose.
Right.
Trying to pump a guy. The guy's probably been beaten down.
Yes.
By a lot of the noise. And I can understand the idea. I don't know if he's intentionally doing, but kind of like, hey, man, you're pretty good. Hey, man, keep coming out.
It's
here.
Confidence. I'm the
new guy.
To do.
I don't care about what happened before. I like what you're doing. Let's go.
I mean, even as I was reading Teron's training camp report from yesterday, he had this note in his notebook. Quote, this was from yesterday. Treylon Burks and Jarvis Brownlee Jr. got tangled up as they went down. They went up for a pass along the sideline from Ward. Burks got up slowly, but said he was fine after practice. But when I read Burks got up slowly, I said, oh, no.
He's going to lead the camp in getting up slowly. Just know that going in.
Yes. But every time you see Burks get up slowly, You're gonna rub your head a little bit and just go, oh man, not again. So I want to believe in Treylon Burks. He seems like a stand up guy, and it's been a rough go for him here. I want to believe it. My question is there anything he can say or do during training camp, during the preseason, to make us believe that this year is going to be different?
Unfortunately, no, because no matter what he does, people are going to say, well, we need to see this during the regular season. We saw glimpses and flashes of it last year in practice, year before that in practice. We've seen this. We know. That's why they've kept you around, you know, thus far, because you've shown those flashes. You're a first-round draft pick. You've shown them. So we've seen that. Now we want you to, you know, Brian Callahan said this last year about Will Levis. You know, it's good from the classroom, from the playbook to the classroom, from the classroom to the practice. The problem that we have is from practice to the field, and that's the biggest problem, taking it from the practice field to the playing field. That's what separates starters from backups from, you know, guys that are not on the team before. Because we all seen those guys that are able to get on the whiteboard and to write it all up or regurgitate it, or a guy that gets in practice and he's doing everything that you possibly want him to do, but when he gets in the game, nothing shows from it. That's what people want to see. They want to see, can you do it in the game? Fortunately and unfortunately, you know, no matter what he does in camp, people are going to say, well, let's just wait until the season. If he does it, if it continues during the season, then okay.
Caleb on our text line said, Big Joe said he doesn't think Burks will be on the team week one. Well, Willie, let's talk about the land of opportunity for the wide receivers here in Tennessee. If you had to rank Burks along with the rest of the wide receivers on the roster in terms of the likelihood that they make the team out of camp, where would you put Burks right now?
This is the big if.
Or just in the general pecking order of wide receivers.
Let's establish this. He is the most talented wide receiver that they have with the complete tools. If you're just looking at the physical attributes, forget about the mental toughness, forget about the ability to stay on the field, put those aside. The physical tools, he's the best. I would take him over Ridley. Just body type, all the things that you look for in the tools. Now, that's not the issue with him. But I would say, given that, even if you disagree with me, he's among the top. Maybe you would take Ridley. I don't know. But he can't rank any lower than second or third. So he makes the team based on his physical tools. It's, does he stay on the field? So if he stays on the field, which is a big if, I think he makes the team. Why would you not keep him? Unless these fourth-round picks or Restrepo, or whoever these guys are, come out of nowhere and blow you away. But there's been plenty of people who catch passes in training camp that don't turn into anything because they're just not quite good enough. I use Mason Kinsey as the extreme example. Mason Kinsey's going to catch passes in this training camp. He's going to have times where he's like, man, this guy's pretty good. And he is, but let's not mistake him for Treylon Burks. So it's such an enigma, but I think if he stays on the field, I would keep him around. He's not killing your salary cap. You're looking for guys that have a ceiling, and you'd love it to be – they need some luck. They need to have a great story or two. Not a Cinderella story where they make the playoffs, but they need some finds unexpectedly. Like, that would be an unexpected find, is Burks somehow has some production for you.
Yeah, there's absolutely an opening, because after Ridley as wide receiver one, the pecking order of wide receivers at the moment, at least, is unclear.
It's open market.
It's
right. Wide
open. It's the land of opportunity. Now, to Joe's point, if he's what he has been, mm-hmm. he'll get hurt, and he won't be able to play. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And therefore, you'd be like, well, why do we even have him here? Well, but they don't have other guys pushing him that are as good as him.
I think that these rookie guys are going to be the push that he may need. And I think a lot of it does depend on how those guys are developing. Io Manner and DK. If those guys are progressing the way the Titans hope and believe, then that's gonna further push Treylon Burks down. They're going to squeeze him out nonetheless. They're going to squeeze him out. So if they are productive during camp and they show that they are ready to go, then, you know, if Treylon isn't having a, you know, wonderful camp or an outstanding camp, then those two rookies are going to squeeze him out. And he's going to find himself not necessarily off the team, but he's going to find himself fighting for snaps once the season gets started.
615-737-1025. Is there anything that Treylon Burks can say or do in the preseason, during training camp, that will make you feel any differently about him after the rough start to his NFL career? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I want to revisit a question that Derek posed to us earlier in the program. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He has a comment on Burks, as well as a comment for Willie. Trey, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, Willie. Hey,
Trey.
I read your wife's story. I heard about her passing, and man, what a wonderful woman and wife that you had. And I'm praying for you and your family, man. I know you'll get through it, but wow, she was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I just want to say, I think Treylon Burks can be a good player if they use him correctly, like Derek said. he doesn't have top speed to go out in the post and catch those long passes. As you can recall, the times that he did, he always got hurt. If they used him in the sub, you know, 10, you know, 15-yard pass drops, slants, I think he would do well. And do y'all think he will get cut? Or do you think he'll be on the team? And again, Willie, my condolences go out to your family, man.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good day,
Trey.
Okay, buddy?
Yeah.
All right.
I love y'all. Y'all take care.
Thanks, Trey.
Listen, we've said enough and even more about Treylon Burks. And, you know, whether he's going to make an impact on his team or not, you know, the organization, I think, has gotten to the point, and they showed everybody, and they even showed Treylon Burks by drafting two wide receivers in a fourth and fifth round and then bringing in a young Van Jefferson. They're telling them that, listen, man, you forced us to bring in three new young wide receivers, and not to mention the guy, Colton Dowdy, drafted last year. But you, because of your lack of production, but more importantly, you haven't been available. That we had to go out and we had to get three young wide receivers, because Van Jefferson is a young guy. I think he's under 30, so he's a young guy. And Treylon got to understand that they're, in a sense, telling you that, hey, if you don't show anything, if you don't stay healthy, then these two guys, matter of fact, these three guys that we brought in here, one with experience and a Super Bowl ring, that you're gonna find yourself not having any play in time. I don't think they're gonna cut him. I really don't. Trade him? That's not out of the realm of possibility. But I don't think they're gonna flat out cut him unless he just has a horrible camp.
Let's go back to that question you posed to us, Derek, earlier in the program. Which unit, offense or defense, is better positioned to help Cam Ward in his rookie season? And I do find it to be an interesting question because, for example, the best player on the team, Jeffrey Simmons, plays on the defensive side of the ball. However, the defense, despite having one of the best yards allowed per game numbers of last season, also had some of the worst points per game allowed numbers last season. Remember, thanks to CBS Sports, if I recall the stat correctly, the Titans were the first team since the 1960 Chicago Bears to rank in the top three in yards allowed per game and the bottom three in points allowed per game. Keeping in mind that there were, 13 teams in the NFL back in the early 60s. So what the Titans did last season was quite historic from a defensive standpoint. But on the other side, there is the worst collection of playmakers in the NFL, according to Bill Barnwell at ESPN.com. So I'm not sure I know how to answer that question. I think you could make a case either way. But where do you fall on it?
I think if you just look at, let's just say, the top three players on their team. Now, in my mind, based on the season last year and where potentially it's headed, two of the three best players are on defense. And both of them are within the interior line. Simmons and Sweat. Those are the two of your top players on your team, and both of them reside on the defensive side of the ball. Now, what they did in regards to the offense, you know, bringing in Kevin Zeitler, you know, switching JC over, bringing in Tyler Lockett, bringing in Van Jefferson, who has experience, and he's had a good season in this league before, prior to him getting injured. So you have some players on your team on the offensive side of the ball, but I think the guys that you know, like from what you've seen, you know they are going to be there each and every week. Two of the three are on the defensive side of the ball. I want to say the defense, even though they have two of the top three, But with the acquisition of Zeitler and Lockett, I want to tend to believe it may just be the offense at this particular moment. Now, I have the right to change once the season starts and see what's going on. But right now, based upon the guys that they brought in, with veteran leadership, games up underneath their belt, Super Bowls Super Bowl rings on their hand, I would tend to think the offense right now, but you know that can change depending on you know how the defense you know steps up.
I would love to see the defense step up. I do think that there might be a little more hope that it's the offense. Mm-hmm. I think overall in this question though, I keep coming back to they didn't really have a choice, but I think they've set the roster up with the ability to let it play out a little bit. We're basically 7 weeks away from playing a game. They have the number one waiver wire pickup thing. Mm-hmm. They mentioned that a couple of times unsolicited in the press conference. So I think they're just searching for pieces more so than worried about exactly how many games they win. And I think they're trying to create competition. They're not like when they signed DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. you kind of have to make DeAndre Hopkins the focal point, right? And you mm-hmm. mentioned how that could be a pitfall, and it sort of became one the second year. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that as much here. And you guys were mentioning yesterday some of the veterans like a Judon who might be tempted to say, you know, we don't have any edge rushers. What if we bring in a guy like that? Well, that might keep some other young player from getting a chance to come out there. So as you mentioned yesterday on the show, D-Mace, you can let it sort out for a couple weeks in practice. Let's see how Treylon Burks compares to the rookie guys they brought in. Let's see how the young edge rusher that you drafted with the second round pick, let's see how he looks compared to who else you have on the roster. I think you're hoping for some names to emerge, but I kind of like not having a lot of roster spots that are sort of spoken for. Mm-hmm. When you sign seven free agents or six like they did last year, you kind of have to keep them. You spent money on them. They're a little less in that place now. So with the number one waiver wire pickup, a new class of rookies, I like how they've created competition and opportunities to see if they can find a few diamonds in the rough.
By the way, earlier today, the Titans announced that they added outside linebacker Jihad Ward to replace the retiring Lorenzo Carter. Ward last season played 17 games with the Minnesota Vikings, started twice, had one sack, but 39 quarterback pressures. So I believe, Derek, mm-hmm. that adds to our grand total, the eight edge rushers on the Titans roster combined for a grand total of 12 and a half sacks last season for their clubs.
What would that rank amongst all sack getters last year? Titans together still would rank probably fifth or sixth.
If you give me a moment.
Maybe fifth.
I will find that out for you.
While you look at that, too, another stat that jumped out at me is Femi Oladejo, who is going to be given every chance mm-hmm. to plug and play as a rookie. I mean, it's there for him. They don't have much they have some competition, but they would love for him to win that job. You know how many sacks he had in his career at UCLA?
Two?
Six. Mm. Six.
By the way, the Titans would have tied Kyle Van Noy for fourth most sacks
there you go.
In the NFL last season.
Well, they were fourth in the NFL in sacks. Individual sacks if they
combined.
Put all it together.
Combined. Yes. That's one way. That's one way to do it.
Man. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this defense, I would love for the defense to be the side of the ball that helps Cam out the most for this reason. And I'm saying this year, for this reason. You don't want to put your quarterback in a position where you're giving up 30 and he has to score 31, or you're giving up 25 and he has to score 26 every game. He may be able to do it from time to time, but one or two slip-ups, and that will do you in. Ask who was one of these high-powered teams out there, and they couldn't stop nobody. who was it? I forgot what it who it was. But when you
this past season,
yeah, it was a high score. Or no, we were discussing. Who are we discussing? It might have been New Orleans from past with
the Saints did have some bad defenses. Yeah,
no. But I'm saying when they were one of the highest scoring teams in the National Football League. When they drafted the quarterback out of Florida State, Jameis Winston, when they drafted Jameis Winston, and he had 35 touchdowns but 35 interceptions.
For the Buccaneers,
well, yeah. Yeah, for the Buccaneers, not the Saints. I don't know why I said the Saints, because he played for the Saints. He played for the Saints.
Same division as
exactly.
Well.
Exactly. But, yeah, that's great. Or, no, we were talking about Cincinnati. That's who we were talking about. When you score 27, 28 points, but where did that get Cincinnati? Nowhere. You got to make a quick trip home. Why? Because they couldn't stop anyone. So, on one hand, it's great to have your offense for a young quarterback to be one of the best in the league. But if you're not able to stop anyone, then you're going to end up like the Cincinnati Bengals, where you in offensive statistical categories, you're probably tops in just about all of them. But then you flip the coin over and you are horrible on defense.
Speaking from your personal experience, in 2008, the Baltimore Ravens finished 11th in the NFL in points, 4. Third in points against. Your Ravens averaged 24.1 points per game, allowed 15.3 points per game.
That's damn near a 10-point swing, 10-point gap. So, and that's good for a young quarterback. Why? Because the pressure isn't on my shoulders to go out there and throw for 3 or 4 touchdowns every single game. If it happens, that's great. You know, but I don't want to have to put my quarterback in a pressure situation like that every game.
615-737-1025. David James, you need to turn that hat the right way, young man, because Jarrett Stillman is coming up next. Willie's got his hat on right. Derek's got his hat on right.
Yes.
David, put your hat on right, my friend, because you don't want Jarrett to see you with a backwards hat.
I don't. I don't want
no,
that smoke.
Do not incur the wrath of Jarrett Stillman for wearing a backwards cap. Jared will join us next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. I am not wearing a hat, but David James is wearing a hat. Willie Donick is wearing a hat. Derek Mason is wearing a hat. They are all facing forward because Jarrett Stillman is here, and Jared would have a huge problem with. Up, Derek's got it kind of cocked to the side.
At the CC Sabathia going on.
Is that okay, Jared?
Is this
okay?
Cool, Jared? Can you see it?
Yeah,
you
sure.
Can see it. Is it cool?
Hey, you know what? I will say, you know what, Derek? For you, who's not a head coach in the NFL, you, a Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer, you can do whatever you like with your cap. But if the Titans hire you to be head coach, the same way Jeff Saturday got hired off of TV to go coach the Colts a couple of years ago, I'd say, son, turn that cap around.
Jared, I do want to read one text from earlier from Wes in Hermitage. He said, Jared has had some doozy takes before, but the backwards hat thing was one of the worst. I hope Jared knows his son at some point will, quote unquote, incorrectly wear his hat and he will have to accept it.
If my son is a head coach, that's a different discussion, in my opinion, than if my son is 13 years old and his mom got him tickets for the Jelly Roll concert. Like, there's a difference between the two. And last time I checked, Brian Callahan, when he was giving that fiery speech, was the head coach of the football team. I got to say this. I couldn't get over the backwards hat thing. Just about, you know, Callahan never wears a backwards hat, so watching him deliver that fiery speech with his backwards cap on just seems so goofy. But I guess what it took away from in hindsight was just how goofy that speech was from Brian Callahan. I don't know about you, D-Mace. You played in the NFL. I didn't. With that rah-rah speech from Brian Callahan, I believe in you. This is a damn good football team. Would that have gotten you motivated?
I mean, listen, this is not a – it would have. I mean, I don't – it would have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it wouldn't. Okay, everything – see, here's the problem, Jerry, and Brian has created this problem himself.
I was going to say, whose problem is this? This is my problem?
No, I'm just saying this is what the problem is. And Brian has created it himself. So when you say things like that about, you know, the hat backwards and the speech. It's like, yeah, it's kind of silly, but Brian, you may have opened yourself up to this. Prime example, when you got a chance, when you have an opportunity to stand 10 toes as a head coach and discipline a player, you don't do it. Now everybody thinks, this guy, he's a joke. He doesn't have a backbone. That's what some people are thinking now. They don't think he's a good coach either because they don't think he could stand up to these players. Why? Because of what happened last year. And then you couple it with the backwards hat and his fiery speech. Now, Jared, he just filling you more with more ammunition to say he's not the guy for the job. When in fact, I think he is, but because he didn't handle it the right way the first time, everything he does now doesn't mean anything unless he starts winning.
Any thoughts on that, Jared?
Yeah.
Well, I would just say that when it came to Brian Callahan, I do mm-hmm. feel like what they did when they looked for a coach, and I like Callahan, mm-hmm. and I hope it works out for Callahan. I don't think it's going to work out for Callahan. I don't even know if they think it's going to work out for Callahan. I mean, they're up there giggling about the idea of trying to compete for the Super Bowl. But I do think that they went out of their way to find somebody to be the head coach that was the exact opposite of Mike Vrabel. And Brian Callahan, I think in some of the worst ways, is the exact opposite of Mike Vrabel. And I think in some of the good ways, is the exact opposite of Mike Vrabel. But when it comes to Callahan, that's the thing I keep coming back to, is he just feels like he just, to Derek's point, you know, about not disciplining Simmons and how it all kind of goes back to, is this guy a serious head coach? You know, I think it goes back to him being too nice, being kind of a pushover, and that being, when he was hired, the quintessential reason, because there's a lot of things you can say about Mike Vrabel. That's not it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Jared, I know that you had some incredibly kind words to say about Aaron Donick yesterday. Of course, Willie back in here. And I was, you know what, here's what I loved about your story yesterday. It was a quintessential Jared story. When I first met Willie Donick, he didn't like me. I liked him, but he didn't like me.
Newsflash, I don't know how many people liked you, Jared, at the beginning.
Okay, well, I think we can all admit here at this point that is
we love you now, Jared. Yes. We love you
of
now.
Of the situation.
Yes,
yes. But
I love you now.
I thought it was an incredibly touching tribute, but you know, now that Willie is here on the air, I know Willie would like to thank you for what you said.
Well, I just, off the air, you know, you reaching out to me, Jared, and what you've posted. I did not get a chance to hear what you said. I do plan on going back and listening, but I appreciate the kind words that you said about her. And I am well aware of the backstory, for sure.
Here's what, you know, I was thinking about this before I came on. I didn't know if we were going to talk about this or not, but I thought about this before I hopped on air. You know, Steve Gorman, who used to be the drummer of the Black Crowes and used to have a show on this station. And I know, Willie, obviously you and him go way back. Me and him go way back. We all are, you know, from the USN community.
Right.
And he was texting me after Aaron had passed away just about how upset and how bummed he was and how much Aaron meant to him. And this morning I was doing SiriusXM with Caroline. And during a break, you know, Caroline's out in Charlotte now, but during a break, we were just talking, and Caroline was talking about how bummed out she's been over the last handful of days. And it kind of hit me in that moment, thinking about just, I wouldn't say they're completely polar opposites,
right,
but I would say that Steve Gorman and Caroline represent two very, very different parts of our society in terms of demographics. You know, and even their relationships, you know, with your wife and with you. And, you know, with Gorman's probably more of like a peer kind of relationship. And with Caroline, you know, she was so young and so green when she started working with you guys. And yet the fact that their feelings and just it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to post this on social media to make some sort of big statement or, hey, I'm going to say this to Willie to make him feel better. But it was just in discussion with me. I think that shows how many people Aaron really touched because, you know, again, we're talking about two totally opposite ends of the spectrum and people who, again, are they're, you know, they're talking to me about it because it's on their mind. And I certainly felt the same way about Aaron. And so I think that just shows across the community how many people she touched. And somebody told me one time, you know, if we all hang on to the memory of that person and what we learn from that person, then they'll be with us forever. And I hope that ends up being the case with Aaron, because she really was that special.
Well, you hit a great trait, a gift of hers. You could drop her in any situation, in any place, and I mean any place, and she would thrive and come out of there. And I will say one story I can remember. It was after a Predator playoff game. It was an afternoon game. And this is when I think the Jared is referring to of, you know, I didn't know Jared as well. Jared had been around for a while. And Aaron didn't really know Jared. But I just noticed we were all hanging around after the game. We're just – the Predators had lost the playoff game, and we're just having a good time. And
well, you went out to the bar. You know, this was when I was in my 20s. Right. I was in the going out to the bar age. You – I don't know. You and Aaron ended up at the bar.
Yeah, with the whole crew. We had the, you know, we had all crew. And I just keep looking over, and Aaron is talking to Jared. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's going on? This is interesting. And, of course, from that day on, it was like – Aaron is like, I really like Jared. You just got to get to know Jared. I talked to Jared for a long time. I really like him.
She fought through all of that stuff.
So since then, she has defended you to so many different people who know you only as an on-air personality, who come in all grumpy about Jared. Did you hear what Jared said? I can't stand that Jared. So she would come to your defense a lot, Jared.
You know what's funny about that conversation? And I remember that like it was yesterday. It was 2019 after the Dallas Stars playoff series, one of those games, and the conversation was so long and so deep that it started off with Aaron basically telling me that she did not like me at first, and it ended with her being like, you know what you need to find in life? You need to find true love.
Yes.
Like, you really need to, like, she was telling me, like, she's like, I'm rooting for you. You need to find true love. And that's how deep and how long the conversation was between Aaron and I that day. And it's funny, Willie, because I actually did look back yesterday, and I talked about this on the air some. But I look back, you know, I told you at a Titans practice last year that, hey, you know, my girlfriend and I are expecting a kid. And you were like, oh, wow, that's awesome. That's great. You know, and we talked about it for a little bit. And that night, Aaron sent me the longest text about, oh, I heard the news. I'm so excited. I just, oh, like 15 questions all in one excited paragraph. And, you know, I'm sending back ultrasound photos and all kinds of stuff. And
so she got you.
That was just, I mean, again, that was who she was. She was honestly a gift to all of us, Willie. And I want to thank you for allowing us to get to know her.
Absolutely.
You hit it.
Oh, man. Jared's right about that, because she would always end up asking you, so you got a girlfriend? What's going on? Should I hook you up with somebody? Should I get you somebody?
She had questions for you even the last time we talked.
Yes. So, Derek, who's your girlfriend? And I was like, well, I told her, I was like, well, I was like, man, you haven't met her yet. I said, Willie has met her, but I said, you haven't met her yet. And that was one of the questions that you always wanted to know.
And it wasn't just you. It was all the nurses.
Exactly.
All of the people. I mean, it's just everybody she came in contact with. She just wanted to know about you as a person.
Jared, whose fashion choices will you go after today?
You know, I will say this. Brian Callahan had a press conference.
He was wearing
his
hat the right way.
Forward. I appreciated it. Again,
so he did it because of you?
Jeffrey Simmons, I saw this picture from Teron Davenport yesterday. Jeffrey Simmons has red cleats with Big Jeff painted on them. I was like, Jared's not going to like this.
I didn't see that. I don't have a problem with it, but I go back to the Callahan thing. I think that I've never seen Callahan wear his hat backwards, and that video was like a behind-the-scenes video. So maybe behind the scenes he wears his cap backwards, but because he knows he's a head coach in the NFL, when he's in front of cameras, he always has it forward. So again, as my Uncle Mark would say, turn that cap around.
Did we just hear Jared say, oh, I don't care about the cleats? So Jared, don't bring the cleats up. None this season.
If I hear a segment today, Jeffrey Simmons painted his own name on his cleats. How selfish. I'm going to be very upset with you. But that'll do it. Go ahead.
I if he sacks the quarterback, I don't care what shoes he wears.
Touche.
That'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Willie, we were so glad to have you today. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, it's we've said everything we can say and more. We love you. We love your family. We continue to mourn the loss of Aaron. We're glad that you're here. It was great for all of us to have you here today.
And I thank everybody on all fronts. I love Nashville, and I love all of the support that me and my family have received.
Well, as usual, be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Thursday. Aaron, we are going to miss you. We love you from the 102.5 family and for everyone in Nashville. Peace.